Somebody else is going to have to replace this one.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles. The ego is very fragile. The ego seeks for strength, it seeks for certainty, consistency, it seeks for money, seeks for love, it seeks for health, it seeks for friends in high places, because it is very fragile. The ego's world can be challenged constantly and lost, and it knows it. Even the ego's definition of love, perhaps the fragile, the most fragile, of all its pursuits, the one it would say was the most valuable, love, in the ego's world, is the most fragile. And a two-edged sword. The ego is the first to admit how powerful its love is. I'll cross any ocean for you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for your happiness, as long as you keep up with what we talked about on date number 3. When I decided maybe you're the one, and the specialness became a dedication, I'll cross any ocean. Just remember what we said. It's love now. As much as it's as empowering as it is in this world, and love, the ego's love now, It is powerful in this world. Think of the things you've done for love. Think of the things that are done for love. Think of the commitments that are made, the money that is spent, the time dedicated. Oh, yes, it's powerful in the world. But is there also anything else in the world that can hurt more? You said you loved me. I still love you, but not after this. After what you... Nothing can hurt more than that. So personal. So perhaps that's why a lot of us are here, because we've been through these things in the world that are supposed to be so good, but they're two or double-edged swords. Must not be the real love. If it can leave like this, was it ever there? Was it ever real? Something that could disappear, in fact, more than disappear. Hurt. Take. Was it ever giving anything? Or did it just set me up, fragile, to fall? Maybe that's why a lot of us are here, because something in us says, and this book does, for sure. There is a love that is not fragile. It says it on page 1. What is all encompassing can have no opposite. Can't go away because it's all encompassing. Not fragile. The ego is fragile. All the things the ego holds dear are fragile. All its promises are fragile. We know it. Something in us knows there is another way. This book was started with that very phrase. Helen letting out a big breath of air next to Bill. There must be a better way. She says, and I'll help you find it. So the ego's fragile. It's not fragile, as it turns out, by some kind of mistake.
By what?
Some kind of mistake. Like it wasn't supposed to be, you know. Yeah. It's okay, because we're letting that thing go. Who do you want something that's so fragile? Well, you're kind of stuck with it as an addiction for a while. But you know, we are all here leaving it behind. All of us here have made a choice to let this fragility, this false love, go. Because we know that it is a block to the awareness of true love. which the book says early on, chapter 4, it says, by the way, it's what you are. Teach only love. Or that's what you are. Oh, what a comforting statement. The thing that you'd seek so much is what you are. So if you're experiencing not love, you're experiencing fragility, it is not what you are, and it is not true. You get to let it go. No cost. In fact, gain. So I just like you to take a moment and think. Take a moment and just think about this word. And like all of our meditations, it's probably more helpful to feel about this word than to think about this word. But, you know, this is how we operate. The body, the world operates with thoughts. And we move toward feelings. We will expose the feelings. But by all means, let's just spend a few moments and think about this word. Certainty. Certainty. Just feel your way through that for a few moments. Bing! The bell's in the case. Certainty. And everybody, if you would, we're going to say this word out loud three times just to start to feel how it feels in the body. Repeat after me. Certainty.
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 And last time. Certainty.
Certainty.
What is that? Certainty. And how does it feel? Forget trying to imagine it. Just accept it right now for a moment. Perfect certainty. How long does perfect certainty last? If something is perfectly certain, when does it apply? If something is perfectly certain, what do you have to do to encounter it? And now, if you would, just pick a single word or single phrase that kind of sums up what does it feel like to visit certainty entirely without even knowing certain of what? That doesn't matter. Just visit this freedom of certainty. Certainty of certainty. Visit it once more before you answer. Just surrender to this idea. Perfect certainty. And when you're ready, please open your eyes. You have a word or a phrase?
Word of certainty?
Yeah, how does it make you feel?
Peaceful.
Peaceful. Give me a word or phrase, how it feels.
It feels good. It's like absolute trust. It's totally count on it.
You know what? Julie, I'm going to have you listen to everybody's answer, and then you're going to say what the word is.
Someone please start with my thoughts.
What is it?
I said it's absolutely dependable, so it's like foundation.
Dependable, foundation.
It's something, it's like I can count on it. It's got my back always.
Always.
Always trust.
Trustworthy.
Always trust.
Michaeline, how does it make you feel?
Unquestionable trust.
Ooh. The unquestionable. No doubt. Nice. Walt?
No doubt.
No doubt. Not even the possibility.
No hesitation.
No hesitation. Wow. Instantaneous empowerment. Whoa. Julie. No, you got to just work it out. How does it make you feel, Stephen?
Grace and ease.
Grace and ease. Oh, yeah. Do you remember when we did the, what was that word? I think it was you or David, small David, who came up with, it was grace. We did a meditation on grace. And either you or David said that there is this ability, like a skier, a downhill skier, who's, or maybe it was commitment, but it was fully able to make those turns with your whole body at stake. And the downhill skier on the Black Diamond or the Mogul just throws, you're all in. You're all in, but it's graceful. And that's how it works, is because it's graceful. The jagged turns, you fall over. But the grace allows you to make these big moves when you're skiing. I thought it was beautiful. Yeah, grace. It's good. Chris, how does it make you feel, this mysterious word?
To be totally present and to whatever shows up.
To be totally present to whatever shows up. Is that undefended?
Undefended, yeah. But in the flow. So that's where I went with it.
I'm kind of hearing undefended.
Undefended.
And Walt says no hesitation.
Yeah.
I love that. No hesitation. Boom. Why not? Yes. Donna, how does it make you feel?
Well, ultimately, I just felt like I've dissolved. I've dissolved into something that's, I can't say it any better, but it's so buoyant and so all-encompassing.
I like that. I've dissolved. Yeah, that's going to be really useful for tonight. Mm-hmm. Yes, very good. Carol, how does it make you feel?
Just so at ease. Just totally at ease and total trust.
You total trusting and totally at ease. Again, undefended. At ease. Perfect trust. Yeah, just what a nice way to be.
Yeah.
Masako, how does it make you feel?
Just what so.
Which?
What so.
What so?
Just what so. So there's no thought.
Oh, an absolute, you mean? Like absolute? Quality of absolute? How simple is that?
There's no thought. Just what so.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark, how's it make you feel?
Well, the thought that comes to mind is that it's illusory.
Nobody knows this condition. It's illusory.
Is it because certainty implies permanence. There's nothing that's permanent.
Yes. Yes. Right? Isn't that the fact? Isn't that the longer you live, the more you know this to be true? Very good. We'll use that tonight too. Luann.
Painfully lost because I don't have it.
Aha. Yes. Yes, how sweet. How sweet this thing is. And what a sweet sorrow. In fact, a horrible sorrow. When we talk too long with Mark, who says, let me tell you the truth, and you know it's true. He's just speaking the truth. All of us are dancing around this flowery. He says, look, I've lived long enough. Let me tell you something about this world. And Luann says, I've been there, I know that. Cecily, how did it make you feel?
The phrase that came to mind was a deep down knowing.
Oh, a knowing. You know, A Course in Miracles uses this word heaven. It's sprinkled throughout the book, and some of the most beautiful places in the whole book is the word heaven, which you can switch for the word knowing. Because Course in Miracles teaches heaven is not someplace else. We're going to use this pretty word because, well, it makes for good prose. But as you learn what the teaching is, it's simply knowing the truth. And heaven is now. And heaven is always. Yeah, it's good. Kim, how did it make you feel?
Well, it's hard to describe because if I said it was total faith, that would mean there'd be a lack of faith. Or if it was total peace, then there would be a lack of peace.
Very good.
I like the word dissolve because it's as though you're in this place where there's no judgment about anything else. There's just this, it is a knowing. And I almost said the word.
Yeah.
what it says. It's
right?
It's a completeness.
What a rarity.
It's a no doubt about anything else.
Yes.
It's that. Everything is complete.
Yes. Yes.
And
dissolving.
We're all lucky if we have moments of that.
Right?
Yeah.
Or even if we had a moment of it just a moment ago. Mm-hmm. If you were able to relax your mind, even you, in the denial of it, in the truthful, your truthful nature, your unwillingness to lie to yourself, if that's what it is. I mean, that is to be revered. So strong a student you are. If you could touch what it is, I think you did. I think that's how you know that it's not to be found. Because you touched it. I hope everybody at least touched it and felt this, that words would fail very quickly for its rarity. The fact of its rarity.
I didn't think of words. I just kept thinking something like, well, the sun's going to come up in the morning.
Uh-huh.
That's the kind of thing I was thinking.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't put a word on it.
Yeah, that's good, because I wanted to get to the feeling and not the word. So that's great. All the examples you can think of, and then what does that feel like? Knowing.
It's also being in the presence of what is.
Yes, yes.
Me.
Yes.
That's what came to mind.
Yes, just like Masako. What so? Just what of what is. Yes, you would dissolve into the truth, right? Were it present? Would you resist? What is? Impossible.
I think my loss came from absolutely knowing.
Yes.
I'm not going to have it all the time. If I don't have it all the time, then it isn't what it is.
Then it's not what it is. So I applaud you because you kept the mental discipline to not fantasize. The world here is a fantasy. It's a substitute for this. And it's very fragile. Continuing to be very fragile and even more fragile. You have any clue what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Well, I think somebody let it slip, so Alex Trebek, I'd say, what is certainty?
Yes!
I will say that before certainty, I thought heaven, and then I was like, but people are talking about having it or not having it, so I was going to say knowing, and so it was really interesting when you said heaven and knowing are the same
thing. That's great, because yeah, knowing and heaven, and, yeah, that's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
So she has certainty.
Well, see, somebody did let it slip. We're not going to say Mark's name because it's a little embarrassing. There's no need for that. Okay, so it's not necessary. So, right. This rare bird, and yet all of us have a sense for its value, its attractiveness, how free is no hesitation. What is it like to have yourself dissolve into something that is so.
But you have to imagine that you're doing that.
Yes.
It's not real.
Yes.
This is a fantasy that we're talking about. We have moments where we feel that.
Right.
But that's not constant.
And those moments have to be lies.
Well, no.
No.
No?
I think that we can be, that a situation, I mean, I think Holy Spirit actually presents us where we are in situations where we can, where we do experience it.
Okay.
Like, I had an experience of that this week.
Talk to us.
I have a daughter who's very ill, who's in the hospital. Miles, I can't let go, right?
Okay, okay.
I can't go there. And, you know, my whole thing was the worrying and the, you know, her suffering, and she just had a baby, she can't be with her baby. So there's all this dynamic of the human and all of that. But then all of a sudden I was doing a reading out of the book, and it came to me that this is where there is certainty. No matter what happens.
Yes.
No matter what happens.
Yeah.
That's the illusion.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That gets in the way of the trust.
Uh-huh.
That everything has, everything is as it is, and it's not as, I mean, it is as it is, but it's not as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, my ego was going bonkers with it.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden this realization, this certainty that, God is.
Uh-huh.
And it's really about love.
Uh-huh.
And I had to feel that before I could.
Yes.
At the certainty of that before I had some peace in
it. Very good, very good. Yeah, to make sense of something like that with all that uncertainty and something so personal as your daughter and loved one, the world will come up with more ways to harm you and make you suffer and push you away from
trust.
Love. But the trust.
Because that ego is, you can't trust that, you can't do that.
Right.
And you, when you, and part of the reading today, and I just have to say it because part of my reading today was, The ego has us seeking love, not experiencing or being who we are.
Yes.
It's about the seeking part and never getting there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The promise, the promise, the promise.
The promise that's never fulfilled.
Never fulfilled, yes. Mm-hmm. And when for the few times when they think it is, it's very fragile.
Right.
And then you wonder, God, did I ever, was it really?
But it's not really love.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. But the certainty, but if you did what you just described to us, in the middle of that difficulty, and you step back and found the trust, it's in the manual for teachers, it's underneath all things.
Yeah, there was a quote too that I had come up from the manual for teachers.
And if you just close your eyes and you breathed that spiritual air, and you felt your heart go to ease, there aren't words.
There aren't words, right?
There aren't words, that's right. Yes.
I just want to say, I had about 2 years ago, I had a health scare, and I was going in the next day to get a biopsy, and I was terrified that I was going to be told I was going to die, and I did this meditation, and I talked to this kind of like spiritual person, and when I got off the phone, I just had this like deep knowing, this is the first thing that came to mind, I was like, I'm going to be fine, like it was just like poof, and it was like so genuine and so strong that I was like, all my worry just like vanished.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, it was crazy. It was just like, I knew the test was going to come back negative, like beyond a doubt. And I went in anyway and I got the biopsy and came back negative. But that struck me, like, and it stayed with me. It's the first thing that came to mind because I haven't experienced that sort of deep knowing very much.
Yes.
And it just was like, there was no question.
Yes.
Which is crazy how I knew that.
What a way to be.
How did I know?
You know that? How could you be in that knowing? Yeah.
And then the ego goes and says, I want that. I'm going to grab onto that.
Oh, yeah.
I want it back.
Yes.
You know, and it's not as good as that was then. And,
yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's the opposite of certainty.
Yeah, you bet. Goes uncertain.
What?
It goes uncertain. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. But there are situations like that. And anybody else has them, you feel free to share. I've got a bunch in my life.
Yeah, I've had those, but that's not what I was talking about when I was thinking about certain things.
There's a piece that does not pass understanding or logic that still happens even in this world like that.
I've had several moments of that.
You
cannot describe.
You can't describe it.
And for quite a long period of time, I think I was in this place. And I got drunk on that. And I could feel myself letting it slip away and letting ego take over, because I kept trying to grab it back out of this addiction for it. So it's such a weird slope when you're, I want to say up there, but it is kind of up there in my higher chakras where I was. To stay there, because ego wants to go, you know, come on back down to earth. You can't stay up there by yourself, you know.
And somehow that certainty was specific, and it doesn't have this larger trust that's universal. No,
well,
it's specific.
But I was there, though, and I know, and thankfully, because I know what that is, and I am confident that it is real, even though I'm not there at the moment.
Excellent. Say that again. Listen to her. Say that again. Please say that again. The exact same sentence, best you can.
That I'm confident that that is what's real, even though I'm not there.
Even though I'm not there.
Yeah.
She knows something now that is real. And the Course supports exactly. That's why she continues to read the book. And says, oh yeah, listen, I've been there, she says. Kim is living what she's reading.
And there's another part to that experience too, because the thoughts that kept coming were like, I just got back from there. I don't have the money to travel over there again. I don't know. Just all of these things. How do I get there? What do I do? And the minute I reached that place,
yes,
the phone rang. My son-in-law says, I'm getting you a ticket for Sunday, because I had a time limit, because I had like all the scheduled stuff. I just got back. But everything, like within 20 minutes, went bang, 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 bang. And I just like went, that really happened. That really happened. Did that all just get resolved? Like,
I have those experiences like that too, but my problem with stuff like that is when I make a judgment about what happens in my life, if everything is going to fall into place, that must mean that I am doing something correct, that my thinking is right, and the world is with me, and everything's working perfectly. It doesn't. When I get there, my ego kicks in and says, "Oh man, you're doing great," you know. And then I lose it like that.
Yes.
Well, see, I will wait for the shoe to drop.
We enjoy our gifts. We enjoy our gifts, but they are not the condition of our happiness.
Right.
It's when I can stay there when everything around me seems to be in a state of chaos.
Yes.
But I don't actually even see it anymore.
Yes.
I don't see the chaos.
Yes.
Anymore. It's
yes.
not there, and it's not bothering me.
Yes.
But nothing has changed.
Yes. Okay. So let me paint for you a picture here of the continuum of fragility, we shall call it. Before course, before any training, before any good life empowering experiences, something bad happens and you feel bad, and that's it. 1-to-1. It's bad. It gets worse. What else could happen to make it worse? Oh, it's terrible. So very, very, this is a low end. It's fragile. Then, maybe you get some health, some wealth, some good doctors, some free airfare, some good food, good counsel, a spare of whatever it is, and you have some redundancy, let's say. And so now you are not fragile. Because if this thing comes to pass, you've got something to handle it with. You got your Course in Miracles here, and you got a whole bunch of friends and experience and over here. And like, you bring it. I can do it. Bring it on. I can handle it, because I have ways to handle it. So okay. And then there's where what we're going to call anti-fragile, where when a challenging circumstance arises, the Holy Spirit is accessible to you, and no matter what it is, you look for the miracle. You're anti-fragile because the thing that would have broken you now makes you stronger. You know that just for your own choice, you can go to peace, lesson 34. You know, all you have to do is not listen to the ego painting how bad this is. And then it's just, first of all, there's better living, regardless of what happens. And then doors are opening because you're not all afraid and clammed up and closed up. But the first and most important thing is you can touch that certainty in the midst of uncertainty. You can do that, and the object of the workbook is to pull you through your day and have you make these choices. Whatever going on with your day, you still choose peace and take a breath.
A lot of times, and this is just me because I'm so observant of my own path, but a lot of times I can't turn it over to Holy Spirit, because when I acknowledge that it is even a thing, it seems to get more power. Sometimes the only thing I can do is to almost shut down and not think about it at all, or else it becomes an obsession with me. I prayed about it. Is it gone? I prayed about it. Is it gone yet? Is it gone yet? Is it gone yet? And it becomes me. It takes over. So
yes.
I have to just
yes.
remember, I don't know what anything means.
Yes.
The only thing to do is nothing. And I get back to the very basics in order to go through these steps
yes.
to try to just relax
yes.
and let the process work its way
yes.
around me. If I get too involved
yes.
with trying to turn it over,
yes.
it
makes another barrier.
It does.
It makes a barrier higher to climb. Because you're checking on it, checking on it, checking on it. Excellent. Example.
So the sensitivity, which is beautiful, that sensitivity that we can be open to is beautiful. But sometimes it can also be like sensitive to everything coming at you. What can, and how
right.
can you, like, interesting. The sensitivity is beautiful, it's open, but it also feels like you're going, I'm a little sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can rock this boat.
Yeah.
One of you knows that your boat is totally steady. And yet you're like, anything can rock it.
Yeah. And what's it?
Wow.
How was another word for sensitive? Everybody, what's some more words for sensitive?
Fragile.
Weak. Worried.
And at the same time, there's a real beauty in that's open not only to that, but open to
candy,
open to wonder.
Responsive. Yes. Caring.
Vulnerable.
Yes.
So I just wanted to speak to Kim's point, because I've definitely been there,
yes.
and actually lessons would just trigger me because they make that thing rise up and feel even more present, and that would just drove me nuts when that would happen. But what I think was key to the point of what you said, though, is like, prayed about it, is it gone yet? It's the wanting it to be gone that it, for me,
yes.
was the problem.
Nice.
It's like I would get rid of it, whatever
yeah.
that it is,
yeah.
for a little period of time, and then I would think, like, maybe I really did it this time,
yes.
right? And
yes.
and then it would come back, and I'd be so just tied up in knots again,
yes, yes.
and it wasn't until with one particular issue that I said, oh, like in a few days I'll feel better again, I
yes.
just have to wait it out like I always
yes.
do, and I became unafraid of it returning, and I did not
yes.
realize that it was the fear of it returning. I know some of you have heard this before, but
yes.
the fear of it returning
yes.
is what was keeping it there.
Yes.
And as soon as I, like, got, I just was like,
yes.
and it can come back. And you know what?
Yes.
It probably will, and it's okay.
Yes.
It actually barely ever, if ever, even comes back now.
Right.
It's like
yes.
I just
yes.
needed
yes.
to not be afraid of that
yes.
anymore.
This is
well,
why...
We're not looking for love
yes.
or peace. Half the time, we're just looking for relief.
Yes. yes.
So, and don't distinguish it. You know,
yes,
we think
right.
we're looking for peace,
right?
But everything about it, everything we're feeling, everything we're
yeah.
comparing. Like, I had that moment, I want it back, or this is so awful. Holy Spirit, help me out of this.
Yeah.
You know, really, our eye is often on the wrong ball.
Yes, or absolutely.
Using the wrong absolutely.
Eye. Yeah, and right. You know, particularly like what you said about like, you know, because I live in a world where I really, no kidding, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
That's all.
You know, so when things go well, I get a little nervous. Yeah. Like, well, that I'm going to set myself up for the other shoe
yes.
to drop.
Yes, that's yes.
Exactly. You know, so when something goes really well,
yes.
You know, I've recently noticed that, you know, there's times where it's really just genuine, it's really great, it's pure.
Yeah.
And other times it's like, particularly if I get like, if I have a lot of emotion around it, then
yeah.
lately I've noticed that, for me, that sort of tells me it's more about relief
mm-hmm.
rather than just a
yes.
clear space. You know?
Yes, yes. How honest. And we have to do things step by step in the order. It's no use to go up a staircase four stairs at a time. You can't do that. Even you would have trouble reaching the fourth stair. Three at a time I can do it. Watch this. But four stairs, it's fault. To understand the relief of pain first, before the exercise of joy. Yeah!
What a great way to say it, because that's really, I mean...
Would you say it again, though?
I'm sorry.
That's just
to go for the relief of pain before the exercise of joy is so practical.
Is that what the ego does, though?
The ego goes
to
for
make correct things before you can
yes.
finally go, okay, now I'm enjoying myself.
This is true. This is true. And there is some sanity in it, but the worst case is to go for the joy while the pain is still real.
Yeah.
Right? And the joy is fake right. now. You're that's pretending.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
So, I was having nightmares. And I hardly ever dreamed to start with, and I was having nightmare after nightmare after nightmare for about 4 or 5 days. In fact, I said it was your fault that I was having nightmares.
She said that to you. But I just want to say that was unfair. But he's a nice guy.
And because I had told my ego, you know what, there's no reason for me to be afraid, so go away.
Yeah.
And I got these nightmares that when I would wake up and afraid, but the fourth night, the nightmares were still there, and I was thinking, when I woke up, I said, this is ridiculous. That's not going to ever happen. And I said, that was my ego trying to make me afraid.
Yes, nice.
And as soon as I said that, they went away, and I haven't had a nightmare since.
Amen, sister. That's what we call a shift in perception.
Miracle.
It is a miracle. That's why we have to do a miracle on June 23rd. And really, really own it. Hear examples like that. Work our way around them. Yes?
What I'm hearing and what Julie and Kim said was to really be cautious about when we have pair of opposites, what's good for us and what's not good for us, we reach out with everything we have towards something that's going to bring us some value, and then we repel about the other one. So in these two opposites, we're still operating in that fear system. So we're still in the ego system. And I think that's something that we have to really be aware of. Okay, because a lot of times when we want that relief, we don't think of, oh my God, pair of opposites. I'm still in that same system. The other thing is I want to extend out what you said, because that was so lovely about the miracle. And what it reminded me, it's the repeated theme of this book. It's about, hey, the Holy Spirit, which is part of your mind, is designed, you bring every damn problem, no matter how little or how huge, because to the Holy Spirit it makes absolutely no difference.
That's right.
Your part of the job is you remember to bring it to to bring it to it or the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I see two benefits. One is, of course, you know, we all have the privilege of experiencing what it is that we want to experience, what we want, freedom, joy, generosity, trust, whatever it is in that particular instance. And then the other benefit is we're actually practicing release, forgiveness. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, and relief. Getting relief by practicing the release, which is what forgiveness is. And the quickest way to experience forgiveness is to indeed allow the miracle. Look for the shift underneath it all, the falseness of what seems so powerful. The miracle is that shift away, and then the release is really easy. And you trap your thoughts that are thinking the old way, you let them go, because the new way says, it's just a dream. And I'm not going to when my ego try to scare me with something made up, I'm done with that.
Well, that's interesting because I, after I said it was just a dream and it's not real.
Yeah.
And so I'm not afraid anymore.
Right.
I thought, and you know, if that's just a dream, if a dream is just a dream, everything else is just a dream too.
That's exactly what happened when I had that shift. It was the acknowledgement at some level.
Yep.
Yep. This is a dream.
At some level, certainty, with certainty,
right.
Not a story.
No.
Not just reading it, right?
Right. It wasn't
you
about
experienced
that. Experience of, yeah, this is the illusion. This is the dream. This
okay.
Is
so everything we do here, we use a lot of words. This has 497,000 words in it, not including the numbers. Whoa. And they're words. But we're here to get an experience. We'll use the words because the ego loves them. And we'll use the ego's, some of his ego's favorite tricks in order to go back the way we came to the experience of certainty. It's all about an experience. Yes?
So I've got a little, I have a major drama on my trip. Where someone verbally attacked me and wouldn't let up, and I said, "Shut it!" You know, I got to the point of shut it, but the miracle for me was not personalizing that, and recognizing what was going on for her. And I'm not saying I'm entirely done with it, but my God, I'm not a mess because of it. And I couldn't personalize it.
Yes.
And I figure this has helped a lot because it was so much like an old pattern from way back.
Yes.
And my experience of it was so different because it didn't stop my ability to be present for what else was going on.
You didn't have to stay drunk on the experience of defense. On June 24th, my plan is to have stories like this, a lot of participation from us to earth real world challenges where a miracle is needed. And we're going to see the miracle behind all the examples that come up. At least a lot of them. And it's going to be really fun because you'll see how present the miracle is all the time. If you open your mind, use your Holy Spirit to see it. My God, they're everywhere. And there is such instant relief. See? And once that relief is in place, eyes are open, shoulders are down, things start to happen.
And it's so much better than going back over it and
over
it.
Over and over and over.
Oh, my God. What a trip that is.
Right?
You know, look what kind of nutcase that person is, or whatever it is.
Oh my God, you just make it worse. But back to this dream analogy, everybody turn to page 594, paragraph 6, I think. No, 7. Perfect.
Which means you've probably been there before.
Yes, we were there recently. 594, paragraph 7, just that first sentence is all I want you to look at because it's just A Course in Miracles in one sentence. Whoa!
There's so many of them.
What are all these pages for if it's just like, this is it? The miracle establishes you. You should underscore you, because it's very, very personal what we're talking about here. You dream a dream, and that its content is not true. That's the miracle. I was so thinking about these fearful dreams and stuff. I even thought David was the problem.
Well, that's because you told me. I don't have anything to be afraid of, and here I was being afraid, and I said, well, something's wrong here. And all that occurred to me is because I let an ego, it was trying to regain its power.
It was trying to regain its power. Yes. Yes.
I'm pretty new to this, and I don't totally understand some stuff, but what it, when you say, like, it's all an illusion,
yes.
It's all a dream. Like,
yes.
What do you mean?
Perfect! Yes! Yes! How could it all be an illusion if we got names for it? We got books written, we've got history books, we've got the whole, we've got the periodic table, we've got science, it's not an illusion! You can feel it! Oh my god! Well, alright. Should I break it to her gently? Should I break it to her gently? It's really cool, isn't it? Alright, I'm going to break it to you gently. Okay. The truth. Are we here for the truth? Everybody here for the truth? I want the truth. The truth is invisible. You see, if we take the aspects of truth we call truth and say one is permanent, two it's everywhere, always, applies to everybody and everything. That's to be the truth, the real truth. It's not conditional at all. Lesson 133, when you get there, is going to bring you down through a pretty fast funnel. Lesson 133 is like 900 pages in the book, so it really sets you up before it hits you with this very powerful, simple act. Oh, thank God, because everything that's visible is fragile. And it goes away. If you were to be that thing you touched just now, you too would go away. Oh my God, it's not true. Guess what? You ain't that. You are, okay, but you're not that. Yes, it's all an illusion. All that it, everything that takes form, is your body's eyes can see. It's an illusion.
But we live in the illusion.
Yes.
So we are spiritual beings. We can be outside of this illusion that we live in, but we still live in the illusion. So we walk through it every day. We walk through people, we walk through lives, we walk through situations. They're all there to teach us something about our spiritual being and the way that we think and the way we see what we are. And it's all about trying to get to that connection of oneness with God. So the illusion is necessary for our spiritual growth. So it's really hard for us to disconnect from that.
Yes, in fact, we can't.
No.
Disconnect from it.
But we can see around it and above it.
Well, let's stay with that for a moment, because a lot of spiritual paths would have you disconnect from the illusion.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Isn't that separation?
Right.
Isn't that, now you're an enemy. Oh, no. No. Of Course in Miracles. Calls it illusion, all right. But it says all is one, including your illusion. It makes us responsible in the most complimentary way. You want to read it?
Yeah.
Go to page 4. 448. And this is brilliant. I mean, this is brilliant the way it says this.
I'm glad you asked that question, because one time you threw out the comment, and we have to live in this world.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, what the hell does that mean?
That's right. How frustrating is that?
Yeah.
Why can't we just commit suicide and get out of here?
Well, I never asked what Cecily asked. I should have asked it.
Thank you. I know.
That's why she's here.
I know it. Our teacher has arrived. We need this. Yes, yes. Check this out. This is, it's just so eloquent the way this book works. Let's see. How much of this should we read? Okay, let's start with paragraph 2 and just do 2 and 3. So, David, you ready? Paragraph 2?
This is the only thing that you need do for vision. Happiness, release from pain, and the complex escape from sin. All to be given you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations. For here is the power of salvation.
And remember, when you see the word but, in Course in Miracles, and your personal friends and lawyers and everybody else, when the word but comes, you should really sit up and take note. Masako, it's so nice that you're here, but... Chris, thank you for sitting by the door, but I mean, I'm about to really get into the truth of what I need to say. For all that flowery stuff, but okay, same with A Course in Miracles. It really sets you up. Pay attention, because A Course in Miracles is uncannily full of absolutes that are like, are you serious? Yeah. And it's amazing how powerful a message lies after these, but boom, here it is. And this is no exception. To be able to say only what's following, but mean it with no reservations, isn't that what the Buddhist monks are for? Or the people with the orange robes and sit in a cave for 6 months meditating at a time? They do things with no reservation. What about you? Am I supposed to do this? Well, only if you want this freedom. Okay, go ahead. And when you say this, punch the word I.
I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for, and receive it as I have asked.
These are fighting words. You get somebody who's got a broken leg or cancer or a problem with their daughter in the hospital, just a wonderful person, we just had a kid. I mean, didn't God provide the kid? Now what? What? Right? Okay, so who is the I that is pronouncing this with confidence in order to get closer to truth when that is happening?
What is it I need to know?
And who's the I that's going to find relief and take a responsibility?
I am. My identity. Who I am.
Who I really am.
True self.
My true self, which, by the way, is the thing worth pursuing. My false self, not so much. It's just too fragile. It has problems constantly.
Its big name is
its middle name is problem.
Isn't this about not being a victim?
Yes. Oh man, high five, fist bump.
Yeah.
This is about not being a victim. This book.
Does that mean, for instance, if your daughter is in pain?
Yes.
My daughter's in pain.
Yes.
If my daughter's in pain.
Yes.
And I'm in pain because she's in pain.
Yes.
I'm doing that to myself.
Well, you are.
But our real purpose is to be helpful and useful.
Uh-huh.
And it's not about out there. It's about in here.
It's about in here.
I'm feeling that.
Yes.
That's what I'm experiencing.
Yes.
And I get silent. And I know that's... I have to go silent because everything I see, I give all the meaning to it. I want to see this differently.
And there's something bigger happening than the pain.
Yes.
There's something invisible that's happening around the visible. That must be the truth.
Right.
How do I see the truth? Well, I just said it's invisible. And the eyes do not see things that are invisible. So we're going to open another eye for you. Right?
Well, I made the illusion.
What?
I made the illusion.
He made it.
And then if I'm in fear of this illusion I made,
yes,
the book is going to tell me
yes
Really? You're in fear of something you made up. Now that you know you made it up.
That's right.
What does that now look like?
Yeah.
You just made that image up. You just made that illusion up. Yes. And it's fearful. If you made it up, you could just maybe unmake that. Or to make something else. That
at least be aware that it's made up. That would be a good start.
There you go. Thank you.
Let the Holy Spirit do its job.
Right? Yeah. Now read now finish the paragraph.
Yeah.
Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you.
Okay, read that sentence again.
Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear.
Thank God. That, right? Yeah. But you're going to have to get in touch with who you really are, and if you don't, then there's just fighting words. But you're going to say, I didn't choose this cancer. I didn't choose this problem. I didn't choose this rust. I didn't choose this job problem. I didn't choose this volcano washing away my home on Highway 132 in Hawaii. I didn't choose that!
That's not what it's saying, though.
Talk to me.
What it's saying is that you have a choice. You don't have to... It's all how you perceive it. It's all how you react to it.
Yes.
You can choose what you want to think about it.
Yes.
And what you want to do. You don't have to, like, give up and say, okay, I can't do anything about that.
Yes.
You might not be able to, but you can always, like, alter your, you know...
Perception?
Your perception or your, you know... Your attitude.
Judgments, attitude. Yeah, turn to page 617.
Can I say one thing about this too?
Yes, yes.
It's very easy for me to be responsible and in control of the way I see things and feel things when I'm just by myself and I'm in my house and I'm not interacting with other people. And when I'm in a group like this where we all think and feel the same way. When I get out into the illusion of this world and I am just doing my daily thing and I'm interacting with people that see things from the point of view that it's their fault and that happened and it's all this, and they can't get that it's our perception, it's draining, and I can't, and it's hard for me to be around people like that, and yet then I tend to isolate myself so much because I'm much more peaceful in my little shell where I am protected of having no one else around me. And then I go into this state of total isolation and rebel out of that and say, screw it, I'm just going to go out there and be with people. And then I go out there, I get hurt because I get my mind, it's all scrambled, I get my ego. It seems like a vicious circle.
Kim, you are so in the right place.
I know that.
For this book. You managed to make it past the first, and now, you will be amazed how tightly this book will hold your hand dealing with those people out there. As you yet go through it again, you'll say, where did this come from the first time I read it?
Well, what happens is I have no patience for them. I'm in grave danger of just being completely alone.
Yes. Now, and just like, hang on to that. So actually, you're in the right place for needing a miracle around people.
Amen.
Okay? Yes. All right, she is.
Me too.
But all of you who attended that intensive we did on Brother, you know, that's what it was about. But it's not an easy thing, of course, to get the miracle around the reflection of you. They look so much like you. They know how to press your buttons. They're people. You bet. That's why it was such an important thing. We will have to come back to it another day, maybe on a 2-day intensive or something, for those who are willing to show up for it. Because we really couldn't get to the depths and the exercises needed to surface that. And the more I did the preparation, I thought, we'll never do this. We can't get through this.
We need a week long.
Huh?
We need a week long.
We really need a retreat on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's all plan together. But Kim, honestly, you're at the place where the world is the biggest teacher.
Yeah.
And the most useful teacher. And I'm sorry, but you bet. It gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
Why? Because now you can no longer blame the other person as cleanly as you could before.
Right.
You know, because you've been so close and you've been so successful with taking responsibility. And happiness is lit. Life is your life. Mm-hmm. By your own choice. With miracles abounding. You've done it. Mm-hmm. And now, when the ego comes back with its bony fingers and pulls you back into the darkness, mm-hmm. you really can't blame as much as you could before the others, right?
Yeah.
You. Yeah, so it's going to hurt a bit, all right? But it's a new kind of hurt with a lot more hope.
I'd like to say something about
yes.
because I certainly, occasionally I still go there. I mean, I have to be honest, there are times when I still go there. The thing that shifted for me in being able to be out and be with people, especially when I went through this huge job issue thing that I went through, is what is my purpose here?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have, my purpose is not what I think or see. It's what my purpose is to be, right? Mm-hmm. It's to mm-hmm. be.
Yes, an experience. Your purpose
experience,
is a certain experience.
And also to extend that which I truly am.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And be helpful.
Yeah, and then to experience mm-hmm. that which you truly are is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
And then you grow that which you truly are by extending it.
Exactly.
Oh,
Masako,
my God.
Masako really helped me with that one. I'm sorry, I just need to do a kudo here. Because that was a huge shift for me.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I do still get there. I mean, I'd much rather stay home and read this and write my stuff and mm-hmm. listen to my music and not deal with anything.
Mm-hmm.
But like the situation with my daughter, I feel now when I feel now I go where I'm called.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like I have to do this. Why am I doing this? I don't like go there anymore. Well, still do sometimes. I have to be real about that. But I trust that I'm going where I am being called.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to know anything else.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
No, that's what I think about the Holy Spirit. I don't think we have to go to it.
Right.
I think if we're open, it comes to us.
It's here already.
It's here already. Mm-hmm. Every time I get messages all the time about trivial things. Mm-hmm. And when I don't listen, I get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. So, right.
So is there experience? Is it, my language would be to go from self-conscious or self-consciousness to self-consciousness.
Right.
Well, I don't think it's about, it's not about self.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the experience. It's like Andrew talked a little bit ago. It's about...
You guys are saying the same thing, because he's saying the only experience that you can actually have that's true is of capital S self.
Right. Okay.
Which
okay.
is
okay.
a dissolving into certainty.
But the world of the ego self-consciousness is very different.
It's different
oh, no,
it's
yeah.
out there.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not coming
that's limited,
from here.
Conditional.
I'm someone who has been very self-conscious.
Yeah.
And even, but I'm saying, and then, so that's a lens that I've had. So I pick up a lot of things like, wow, you're really self-conscious.
Well, you're bringing
like,
us right back.
Say? Who cares?
You're bringing us right back.
Self-consciousness is totally different.
Page 617.
I don't worry about something or that once I'm self-conscious.
617, Stephen.
Totally different.
See, you're the perfect conundrum here, see? because it's like a dog chasing his tail.
Well, I'm saying now I've experienced miracles to where like, I get this feeling of capital S consciousness at some level, and I'm like, this is really cool, because everybody else is involved in this too. I don't worry about it anymore, there's all one.
Nice.
So yes. I'm saying that with that yes. tendency for us to be so yeah. concerned about appearances
uh-huh.
or all that, and it just yes. I can just feel it when
yes.
we talk about
yes.
about this side versus that self-consciousness
right.
the self
awareness.
No, the real self is inclusive. The small S self is exclusive or divisive. And the big S self is inclusive.
Right.
The big S self is invisible by the body's eyes, but it's really visible with the mind, with the Christ, what we call Christ vision in this book, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Suddenly you see with your mind... You translate, the Holy Spirit translates what your eyes are seeing, the bodies, the situation, are not seen for their differences. They're seen for their similarities. It's a real flip.
And there's an experience of joy in
that. There's an experience of joy in that because it's inclusive.
Right.
Seek not
it's
outside
love.
Yourself.
What?
Seek not outside yourself.
That's where we're going right now, 617, to touch up on what you said as well.
That's all.
Okay, so...
I wasn't questioning.
So, no, I'm just saying, it's not like I pulled it out of my book.
You're really in the moment.
All right, Michaeline, you're up to bat. You're going to read this first paragraph.
How do we talk about a plural I?
Okay. I want Stefan to hear this rather than read it anyway.
Seek not... is that where we're going?
That's where we're going. Paragraph one.
Seek not outside yourself, for it will fail, and you will weep each time an idol falls. Heaven cannot be found where it is not, and there can be no peace excepting there. Okay, I need to read that again. Heaven cannot be found where it is not, and there can be no peace excepting there. Each idol that you worship when God calls will never answer in his place. There is no other answer you can substitute and find the happiness his answer brings. Oh, this makes me want to cry. Seek not outside yourself, for all your pain comes simply from a futile search for what you want, insisting where it must be found. What if it is not there? Do you prefer that you be right or happy? Be you glad that you are told where happiness abides, and seek no longer elsewhere. You will fail. But it is given you to know the truth, and not to seek for it outside yourself.
Woo! Yes!
Is this talking about comparing yourself to other people? Like comparing yourself to...
That would be an example.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Making a judgment about somebody being better than you.
Yes.
Yeah.
A fantasy that you would be happier in their situation if you were in their situation.
Or somebody knows more than me.
Or somehow they're happier than you.
Right, or happier than you.
They're more. And there can be, you cannot be happy as them because they have something different than you. Yeah, so what is it?
It's thinking there's anything outside of you that can be, that can make you happy. It doesn't have to be a person. It can be a thing.
Yes.
It can be money or an power idol, or whatever it is.
And to use your phrase, Dorpy, yes, do your phrase, they, whoever they are, look at them driving around in their second Ferrari. You know, they're just driving one Ferrari to the other. And they're a victim of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be happy. Because they're rich and famous and beautiful and young and thin.
And driving around a Ferrari.
And driving around a Ferrari. They can only be happy. They're a victim.
They must be happy.
They must be happy. They have
and,
to be
And then
happy.
There's the other side of this where, you know, I come back from vacation and I start looking at all the news and, geez, Louise. So then I think I've got to fix it. You know, there's a part of me that thinks I have to fix it.
Yes, yes.
And that's the other, you know, seeking outside of yourself. I've got to fix it.
That's right. That's
I've got to talk to those people. I've got to make it.
It's an idol.
Yes.
It's an idol. Well said.
It's an idol.
Another theme of this book.
It's anything that takes
anything
outside of that place of certainty is an idol.
Yes, Kim. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. High five. Fist bump.
And it took that much, I think, you know, that drama.
Yes.
The bigness of it.
Yes.
For me to get it.
Yes.
You know, I need to... I don't...
Read the next paragraph. Paul?
No one who comes here but still must...
Okay, where's here? Where's here? Well, the Course says that a couple of times through the book. Where's here?
Inside the body.
The world, in our body, in the world.
The physical world.
Right, physical world, identifying with a body. That's what it means to come here.
Being alive.
Being alive. Yeah. What's wrong with that? Yeah. You know, that's what we're talking about. Being alive.
Why did you not say that? You just say that.
Well, it dances around that very carefully. Because you can be in this world and not of the world.
Right.
But by default, you're in the world, you're of the world, and you will suffer by the world.
Because of your soul.
Let's continue. Go ahead, Walt.
I'm sorry.
Yes, please.
No one who comes here but must still have hope. some lingering illusion or some dream that there is something outside of himself that will bring happiness and peace to him. If everything is in him, this cannot be so. And therefore, by his coming, he denies the truth about himself and seeks for something more than all the rest of it is not.
Yep, that's it. You skipped a sentence.
You did. And therefore, by his coming, number three.
And therefore, by his coming, he denies the truth about himself and seeks for something more than everything.
There you go. You're into idolatry.
As if a part of it were separated off and found where all the rest of it is not. This is the purpose he bestows upon the body, that it seek for what he lacks and give him what would make himself complete. And thus he wanders aimlessly about in search of something that he cannot find, believing that he is what he
is. Bing, 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 bing. Which puts us right into tonight's reading on page 413.
Yay. Like it just all came together.
Yeah. Just like an orchestra. This is a section of the book called The Obstacles to Peace. It's very personal. It's very pointed. The second obstacle we're working on is the belief the body is valuable for what it offers. For what it offers. There's an obstacle we just read. Thank you very much, Walt, to point out that the body is to fulfill the promise of giving you something. Even more than you were you, the real you. Forgive it. Yeah, this is the trick. Because if it does, forget all those things of invisible things. The visible needs to be harvested and grown and put the coconut butter oil on it instead of the palm oil, because it'll make you glow right. Alright, so paragraph 5. Stephen.
You have paid very dearly for your illusions, and nothing you have paid for brought you peace. Are you not glad that heaven cannot be sacrificed, and sacrifice cannot be asked of you? There is no obstacle that you can place before our union, for in your holy relationship I am there already. We will surmount all obstacles together, for we stand within the gates and not outside. How easily the gates are opened from within, to let peace through to bless the tired world. Can it be difficult for us to walk past barriers together when you have joined the limitless? The end of guilt is in your hands to give. Would you stop now to look for guilt in your brother?
Yes. Who is the I in that paragraph who's going to take your hand?
If you have to do it for yourself.
Yeah. You really have to do it for yourself. There's nobody else. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But in this world of separation, we really want some help, please. I mean, after all, doesn't the Course tell us that we're the reason that we need miracles in the first place? So I can't... My little self, I'm trouble for myself. I cause trouble for myself. The book says, all right, well, you see it that way. There'll be an I in this book. That sounds like it's not you. In fact, elsewhere it calls itself Jesus. But you start to learn that Course in Miracles' definition of Jesus is a part of your mind that has now completely accepted the Holy Spirit. And manifests the Holy Spirit, teaches only the Holy Spirit, as now being a full representation of the Holy Spirit. And yet still some kind of personality.
And it lives right alongside the ego.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, well, I mean, the ego's anywhere you think of it, there it is. Right? For sure.
Right.
Yes, yes.
What
like
does that line mean, would you stop now to look for guilt in your breath?
Yes. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Would you? Were you to touch the limitless? Were you to touch certainty? Would you look for uncertainty? There's a big if there.
Judgment. Blaming people.
Is that handy now to blame people? Is that somehow going to make things good?
Saying, you know, once you get there, would you go back?
Very important. Once you get there, which is where Kim, I think, is struggling with a bit, and all of us who've been through A Course in Miracles a few times, we've had some pretty damn good days that were really good days that were very empowering to our sense of being actually loved instead of waiting to die. Big moments occur in my experience with this book and other spiritual paths as well. Mm-hmm. Same deal, same. Truth is true. It's very elevating. I like to call it enlightening. There's no doubt. And then the world returns.
Yeah, I mean, I still have no doubt about my about the certainty of everything around me. It's just that, you know, it just sometimes it just is overwhelming, the negativity that you know we have to try to, you know, get around. And if we're not empowered with the right tools at any given moment, which is our choice, sometimes it's hard to make. It's like it's hard to describe. I could say, yes, I definitely want peace instead of this crap.
Yeah.
But man, it's hard to achieve that. Sometimes.
That's right, because the I that's having a hard time achieving something is still the form, the Kim, the Kim.
Yes.
It's still an identity that's treasure.
That's right.
Well, we've all been conditioned to.
Yeah.
We've all been conditioned that way.
Deeply.
So, you know, it takes time.
It takes time. Thank you very much. It takes time. And so the first chapter of this book, when you have that thought in your head, you'll read the whole chapter differently. There's a huge metaphysical message that is so high that he just drops it and says, you know what, I'm going to go back to some basics for the next 1,200 pages. And, like, we're going to do on the 24th. And it's really, really important now, before we can talk, like, what taking time, allowing time to work, the kind of certainty and confidence that welcomes time to work, is a trust that's born like you described. And then you say, bring it on. I'd like to learn the lesson.
And it's happy and joyous.
It's happy and joyous. Thank you. High five, fist bump.
Even in the face of what it looks like out there to other people.
Right, Michaeline. Even in the face of other comments and what it looks like, you have to have this certainty. And that's what J-E-S-U-S.
Purpose is.
Yes. May you manifest the Holy Spirit now, walking through your path with your daughter in the hospital.
With a newborn at home.
With a newborn at
and
home.
And a two-year-old, too, with her husband.
I mean,
I can't even...
Right.
Well, now I get excited because now I get to see him. I mean, it's like shifted from two days of neurosis.
All right. Yes. Okay.
You know, it's, what I have been trying to do is when I start feeling anything, and I've been doing inner relationships myself for about 30-some years, when I feel something negative, a negative, what we would call a negative feeling, I say, am I acting out of love? And almost every time it's no. Mm-hmm. And so what would acting out of love be here?
Yes.
And when I think, for instance, of Trump, I think, I'm just going to laugh. This poor man is having such a rough time in life, and he's an extension of love, too, and that's all I can give back to him. That's all my love can only touch his love. Like, it can't touch all the stuff he's doing.
Uh-huh, right? Yeah. This is a great way to dissolve that. Look for the similarities rather than the differences, and compassion will be born. Mm-hmm. Every time.
And the teacher he is.
And then the teacher, great teacher.
He
challenges you, right? Does he challenge you?
Donald Trump is my teacher.
He's your teacher. He challenges you. Everything he challenges you is your teacher. And it'll teach you fear and anger if the ego is the filter you're listening through. Now he's your teacher of ego. But if your Holy Spirit is a teacher you're listening to, he'll be your teacher of love.
And I think he's wonderful for our country. We needed to wake up, and he's doing it.
Well, there you go. You can tell stories around it. But we're talking about the experience, like Michaeline is having, of the trust that's underneath everything. If you start getting conditional with outcomes and stories, you're back in the hands of the ego. Julie.
Yeah, that's what it is for me because, although I love your story that you got deflated, it didn't even have to go that way.
No.
You could still have the same peace.
Right. Right.
And that's the... I have some really difficult people that I work with right now and some that I supervise. And... very challenging conversations time and again, but I found myself at complete peace and actually very present and very aware in a way that I'm not even in my usual like okay days, but in these difficult intense conversations I'm just totally holding this space that is very similar to essentially it feels the same. In fact, I feel like I'm drawing upon my work with hospice and and sitting with a patient who's dying, and it's so easy in that setting when they're laying down their ego to be that present. It's like a gift they give, in fact. But here I am at work in these super intense conversations that would normally like wreck me for days and you know, make me question everything, and I'm just like, I feel like I'm sitting with a patient, and that it's for me it's like a total acceptance of what it is, and not it's not needing it to be anything else.
Yes.
So for me now, that's been a huge teaching, because I didn't think that'd ever be possible. And in my early days in this new job, I was thinking, like, if this one person just weren't here. But that is that is changing the world, right? And that's not going to get me. I also didn't do this. This feeling of being totally present is but my eye isn't there.
Yes. Good, Julie. Good. So. Good. But you're calling for it. You want to get out of victimhood. You want to get into the situation and look for the trust.
I have no time. I mean, it wasn't like... I feel a need to clarify this because it's a story now. But it wasn't like a process of time. It was like once I reached that point, I didn't have to do anything else. And then everything happened. You know, So it wasn't like I was trying to attain something at all. It wasn't like I was looking outside of myself. It was I really did have to.
You know what you did? You did nothing.
Right. That's
okay. All right. There's a section in this book called I Need Do Nothing.
That's exactly, and I thought about that.
And it took you years to loosen your grip on your life and allow yourself to trust enough to do nothing. It does take time for most people. And that's the way you do it. You practice doing nothing and see what happens, which you've done for years. You did it around some of your other issues you've had in your life. And then love filled this gap. You allowed the gap to rest without you trying to control the hell out of it. And love filled it, flowed in like water.
But it didn't get there for 3 days. And I had a nightmare. So, I mean...
Blame it on me.
But I wasn't... and I wasn't knocking you, but I think sometimes... I just want it for other people in the room that it doesn't always come out flowers and roses, but it's the peace that you have even when it's not flowers and roses. This is all I meant. Not that that actually... My relationship with this person's better because I'm in that place, so it also is better. But it's just... Yeah, I think sometimes, like, I just think it should always be roses.
The first night that I was here, the only thing you said to me when you were going around the room, when you were talking to everybody else, and you very casually said, oh, you're something, and then you you asked who you were, and then you said, oh, you're something, and then you were talking to the next person practically, but on your way you said, and you know you can't change anybody else's path in life. Everybody, I mean, I've heard that many times, but that hit me so hard in my situation with my daughter. And now every time I start feeling a little tiny bit like, you know, I wish you weren't having to go through this, I say, well, and she has changed dramatically ever since I started doing that. I'm not saying it's because of me. She's now more loving. She's less temperamental. She's beginning to admit that she does really want her daughter in her life again, even if her daughter doesn't like her. And she's just a different person. We get along constantly now.
Yes.
Before we used to have, I used to have to say, okay, well, don't say anything because what she's saying was hurting me. But nothing she says hurts me anymore. So
I am responsible for what I see and all the meaning I give it.
Yeah.
Now you're free to live the life with whatever comes.
Yep.
You can have happiness if you wish, or you can stress if you wish. But it'll be as you wish.
Right.
As you wish it, so it is. Good.
Doesn't this meeting seem miraculous? I mean, I almost take it like, not for granted, but like, it's a little like, this is kind of strange to the ego. Like, he actually found something. Look what we're doing here. This is like pretty cool. And part of me is like,
yeah.
You know?
Well, the ego's still trying to do it.
Right, work. But the reality of this is what we're doing here, no what doubt. We're talking about.
No doubt.
It's not very worldly.
It's not very worldly.
It's like outside of this room, people are like, what are you talking about, yeah. Stefan?
And yet it's lifting hearts right in this room.
It's like...
It's bringing hope where there was some darkness.
Like, it's total amazing. Peace from the ego in this room. Mm-hmm. I don't feel it. It doesn't affect me the same way in this room.
Yeah.
It's like they're...
Yes.
Well, it's interesting, too. You walk out the doors and then it becomes a bit of a struggle again. This is the first year, and I've been doing this course for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But this is the first year that I've been in a place, or it's evolved or whatever, where I'm sharing with people that have been in my life a long time who don't even know that I do the course, that I practice the Course in Miracles.
Look at the glow on your whole face. Look at the glow you have now.
Well, it's shifted all my relationships, and now when you know, it's shifted the dynamics of the relationships that I've had for decades,
mm-hmm.
and I'm more at peace with every single relationship now.
Yes.
You know? And I never thought that, I never imagined that that would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And they're still in their dramas, uh-huh. and they're still telling their stories, and uh-huh. they're still going through their,
yes.
you know? And it's easy yes. to get involved in that, but it's yes. just amazing.
It is amazing how you become lovable. How it becomes lovable.
Yeah.
The difficult, those ass-holy ones are really holy and become lovable. It is amazing. And what we do here, it makes the difficulties of the world, the solid difficulties of the world crack open. And I stopped trying to figure out years ago who does A Course in Miracles and why. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You do. You do A Course in Miracles. You've been chosen by your choice. This is for you because you're doing it. And there is no other reason I can figure out. But it's you in this world that are doing this. And it's me. I am doing this. I can't understand any more than that because the world is so the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, you guys. Let's have
you
a circle.
Awesome.
We did one paragraph.
Well, we did.
You know, my book
says, one down.
My book says.
Take a deep breath. You go forward from this room tonight. A changed person for having perhaps at the beginning or somewhere in the middle or maybe it's just right now with that breath an awareness of certainty that you are despite the part of you that is so fragile you are something about you is certain and it is forever. The Course calls it love. The Course calls it light. The Course calls it spirit. You are invisible. And it was just a little mistake that the part of you that is so fragile, the visible part, that that was you. Now may you be certain it is not. You are, but you're not that. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
I was having the same thing that I always wanted.
Thank you.